Beloved, this is Cornerstone Deliverance Church. This is our Wednesday night Bible study class. Amen. Where all is welcome. And it's via conference call, 605-313-5111. Access code 151647 pound. And it's every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Amen.
Amen.
Sister Latasha, I'm going to ask that you open us up in prayer.
Amen. Father God, I come to you on today, oh God. Oh God, we come to you, Father, to get a word, oh God, from you on today, oh God. Oh God, we thank you, Father, for keeping us, oh God, for being able to call in on today, oh God. Oh God, we ask you on today to just cover our families, oh God. Cover Apostle and her family on today, oh God. Oh, God, we thank you for waking us up and keeping us, oh, God. Oh, God, we know that you are in control, oh, God. So, Father, we come to you today, oh, God, just to praise you, just to listen to the word that you're going to send forth, oh, God. So, Father, cover those who are going to call in on today, oh, God. Touch them wherever they are. Touch the ones that are trying to come to the phone line on today, oh, God. And bless us and keep us all, oh God. We thank you. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you,
glory
Jesus.
Glory to your name, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen, glory. Amen, amen. Beloved, tonight we are in the discipleship series, and it's discipleship one. And the lessons that we are studying in this series, amen, are, let me see if I have it here, it's the Word of God, is lesson one. That's the lesson we're studying that we're going to continue tonight. The second lesson will be faith and repentance, water baptism, the Godhead part one, the Godhead part two, the promise of the Holy Ghost, speaking with tongues, the fruit of the Spirit, prayer, fasting, and gathering together. As I said, this is a certificate program, amen, and we are believing God for the enrichment, amen. Mm-hmm. And so this is part two of lesson one concerning the Word of God, amen, and we're starting in the section where it says, the Word, a source of spiritual riches. Amen. Beloved, I believe that in the days that we are living in, it is important that the Word be our treasure. Amen. Because where Amen. Our heart is, where our treasure is, there our heart will be also. And I believe that in this text that God has been showing us the importance of His Word as the Creator, His Word that is spirit and life, His word being one of his provision to fulfill his purpose and plan in our life. Amen. And so it is important that, you know, that which the Holy Spirit had revealed and inspired men of old to write, that we cherish it. Amen. That we, hallelujah, Jesus, that we honor it. Amen. Hallelujah. That we trust in it. Amen. Praise God. And so the word, a source of spiritual riches. The Bible is a source of power. So the Bible, the Word of God tells us that the kingdom of God is not talk but power. Even though we preach a word, the power is in the message that we preach. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. And beloved, we the church, we have to believe that this word is power, that it's not just talk. The kingdom of God is not talk but power. The Holy Spirit works with us when we are preaching his gospel, and he is bringing forth manifestations, signs and wonders, healings and deliverance, salvation. His glory is being released. Amen?
Amen.
It helps us defeat our enemy. This is what the Word of God does. It is a source of power. It helps us defeat our enemy, Satan. When Jesus was tempted of the devil in the wilderness, he used the word as his weapon. And so, beloved, the word of God is a weapon of warfare. Amen. It's time to meditate on it, to memorize it, to hide it in your heart. Amen. It's time to practice yielding it. I should say wielding it. Amen. Hallelujah. As your weapon. Amen. Hallelujah. Three times he defeated Satan's attack by saying, "It is written." He won the victory by quoting scriptures to the devil. Amen.
Amen.
And so some, amen, hallelujah, Jesus. And so it's time for us to grow up. Amen, hallelujah. And what we want to do is that we want to respond to the enemy the way Jesus responded to the enemy. The enemy wants us to get indignant. The enemy wants us to get into our flesh. Remember, Satan is a motivator. That's why the Bible tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, the Satan may be speaking to your husband, your wife, your sister, your brother, you know, your children, but he's a motivator. You have to be able to identify that spirit and use the word of God as your weapon of warfare against that spirit. Matthew 4:10-11 says, "Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Amen?
Amen.
And so when we submit unto God, and that when we submit to God, we submit unto his word. Amen. And we resist the devil with the word. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Satan will flee. But the Bible says that he left him for a season. Amen. And so sometimes we feel like we're always going through something. We get through one thing and here's something else. We get through one thing and there's something else. But you have to believe that God is training you up in warfare. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. He's trying
Amen.
To teach you how to respond. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He wants
Amen.
You to know
Amen.
The power and the provision of his word. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Because I'm quick to say, devil, you another lie. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. My
Amen.
God, my God. And so, beloved, we have to really hold fast to this word. Amen. The writer of Hebrews describes the power of the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Amen.
Yes.
And I love this because it says, when the word says, when it says it is quick, what it's saying is that this word is living. Listen, this word is God's breath. It's alive. Amen. This ain't no dead word. Amen. Hallelujah. This word is alive, amen. And when the word of God comes, whether it's a preach word, Sunday service, Bible study, teaching, the word is coming with a source of provision. It is releasing a resource unto you. And by your faith in the word that you hear, the word of God that you hear, your faith pulls the provision of God out of that word for you, amen.
Amen.
And so, amen, the Bible is a source of great spiritual benefit. When righteous, obedient people consistently read the word, they receive tremendous spiritual development and blessing. Psalms 19 accounts some of the ways in which the word blesses us. Amen. And so it didn't say read it once in a while. It said consistently. Beloved, we have to read this word consistently. We got to rise in the morning, and, you know, when we engage the word, we engage God. Amen. We engage the mind of God. Amen. We engage
Amen.
The provision that has been revealed by the prophetic spirit, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. So Psalms 19:7-11 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean," my God, "enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward." Amen. And so the word even warns us, and the word brings a reward. Amen. And so I love this scripture. This is a scripture that I would like to memorize. Amen. And that's Psalms chapter 19, 7 through 11. And it tells us about the blessing that the word brings. Amen. The Bible is a source of joy. The Bible is a source of joy. Now, we're going to read a few scriptures here. The first one is Psalms 119 through 47. Amen. As a matter of fact, it's Psalms 119, 47, 97, and 162. Amen. And it says, "And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. Oh, how love I thy law. It's my meditation all the day. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great for you." Amen. And so, beloved, listen, you spend time with that you love. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen, when you love something, you can't wait to engage it. Oh, my God. Hallelujah, Jesus, my God.
Yes,
amen.
Lord.
And so we got to learn
Thank
to
you,
love the word right. My God. Hallelujah. When we come to know the value, amen, that God has placed in his word. Amen. Hallelujah, my God. It will make us love it even more. Someone pull up Jeremiah 15 and 16, and let's read that. What does that say? Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 16, and we see the Bible is a source of joy. So if you're lacking joy, amen, what do? You open up the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. I know this morning I was meditating on my fellowship with God. Amen. And he put a song in my heart. Hallelujah. And, you know, I wasn't even trying to sing this song, but my spirit started singing this song. Praise God. And I thank God for the joy. We the church. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He said, "This joy that I give, not like the world give it." The world didn't give us this joy. God gave us this joy. "In the presence of the Lord is the fullness of joy." Amen. Hallelujah. We ain't got
Hallelujah.
No business walking around with our head down like we don't have a promise or a hope in glory. Get in the word and lift up your head. The Bible says that you can leap for joy. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. The Bible tells us how to obtain this thing. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so I remember when I was still on my job. Amen. I used to come to the job smiling and greeting everybody. This one day I came through the door and the woman said hi, and I just said hi. She said, "Oh, you ain't smiling today." I said, "Listen, you got problems." Amen. The one day that I don't smile, you recognize and you tell me I'm not smiling today? You mean to tell me you don't have nothing else to do but to watch me? You know, people are watching you. This is crazy. You know, you too busy trying to provide for your family, make things happen, concerned about your business, but you will find that people aren't concerned about their business. They're concerned about you. And she could
That's
not
right.
wait to point that out. "Oh, you ain't smiling today." I told her, "Give me a minute. Let the smile come forth." Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
She was so close up on me, I couldn't turn around and pull out a stop sign. You know, come on now. Beloved, so, you know, we want to walk with the joy of the Lord. We want to be able to express the joy of the Lord. Why? Because we learned that he called heaven and earth to bear record against us. We want to be great
Amen.
Representation of God in the earth. Amen?
Amen.
And the Bible says in all things we ought to praise him. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
For me, this is a time of grieving for me. Amen? Hallelujah. And I tell you, I had to sit at that bed. Amen. Hallelujah. I sat on my little bench that is at the foot of my bed, and I sat right there praising God and rejoicing, pushing myself into the presence of God. But when joy really hit me, hallelujah.
Amen.
Listen, I couldn't let that praise
Thank
go
you,
if I wanted to. Hallelujah,
Amen.
Jesus. And I know that
Amen.
All the neighbors had to hear, because I didn't hold back. I cried out, amen, like I was in a prayer room, hallelujah. I shook
yes,
my
Lord.
Hand, patted my feet, and hallelujah, I cried out to God, hallelujah.
Glory
and I just
could
start telling him, thank you,
Glory
hallelujah.
God.
I thanked him, hallelujah.
Thank
the
you,
Holy
Jesus.
Spirit drew
Jesus.
Me in. Hallelujah,
yes,
Jesus.
Lord.
Because I
yes,
said, God,
Lord.
In the midst of all of this, I
yes,
need a prayer.
Lord.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Lord. Thank you,
beloved, this thing is real. Hallelujah. Thank
yes,
you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
Glory to his name. Hallelujah. And so today was a good day for me. Hallelujah. And I just thank God for the good day. Amen. I thank Lord, him for the song that sang in my heart. Hallelujah, amen. Jesus. I thank him for the fellowship, even in the midst of it all. Hallelujah. I thank him, hallelujah, for calling my spirit to attention and calling me out of a murmur and complain. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes,
and he made my spirit stand in attention and say, it is well. Hallelujah. I tell you, God spoke to me. Hallelujah. He brought my spirit to attention. Amen. Hallelujah. And so I really thank God for that. Amen.
Amen.
So, brother, we have to allow the word to minister to us. I'm going to tell you, in these last and evil days, the word is going to be very important to the church. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And relationship is important. This thing ain't about going to a brick and mortar building. Even though it's good to fellowship, because the Bible says, forsake not the assembly together with the saints. It's good to do that. Amen. But you have to find fellowship and relationship. God wants us to be intimate with him. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if the only place that you can get your shout on and your worship on is in the building, amen, I don't know what kind of relationship that is. Listen,
amen.
Jesus told the woman in Samaria, amen, he told Mary, Magdalene, that there will come a time where they will not worship me in the synagogue, that the true worshipers will worship him in spirit and truth. This is the season that we train our spirit to respond to God, whether you're on your knees, whether you're walking down the street, whether you're sitting in the train, driving in your car, riding a bus, amen, you ought to train your spirit to respond to God. Amen. This is a spirit and truth worship. Amen. He put his spirit in us that we can engage in fellowship all day long. Amen. Amen. Mm. And so what does Jeremiah 15 and 16 say?
Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord, God of hosts.
Amen. And this is Jeremiah's fellowship with God. When we read these scriptures, we are entering into the theophany, amen, a supernatural experience that Jeremiah had with God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And he said that the words were found, and I did eat them. So, beloved, you got to eat the word. Amen. And I'm not telling you to tear the pages out the book and eat that paper. I'm not telling you that. Amen. Because when you believe it, you eat it. Amen. What you believe, you're eating. Amen. Hallelujah. What you believe, you're taking in. God told them in Eden, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't put your faith in that. Don't trust in that. Don't believe in that. But when the woman saw that the tree was good, God already said everything in the garden was good. That you ain't discovered nothing new. That ain't nothing new. But she said, in desire to make one wise, the only wisdom we need is the wisdom that God has given us in his word. If he say don't touch it or don't enter in or don't engage, we are not to do so. Amen?
Amen.
So when she began to believe, amen, that was her eating. It was a word that was being spoken that she trusted in over God's word. Amen? And so, beloved, we want to be mindful. God wants obedience from his people. But if we don't treasure this word and come to know this word for ourselves, hide it in our heart, how are you going to know what to obey? I believe that in this season, the road is getting very narrow. Amen. Hallelujah. It's already straight, but it's getting narrower. When there's people walking beside you, this road is going to get so narrow, they ain't going to do nothing but be able to walk behind you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because we have to stay on the firm ground of this word. Amen. Where the ground is firm, where it is strong, the solid rock. Amen?
Amen.
And so the Bible, which is the word of God, is a source of peace. Amen? So listen, the Bible is a source of peace. Hallelujah. Psalms 119, 165 say, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them or make them stumble. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them and make them stumble. So that means in our trusting and believing in the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. The word
yes.
is designed not to make us stumble, but to lead us into righteousness. But when we veer off this path, amen, hallelujah, there's a possibility of stumbling. Beloved, I believe that the Bible is teaching us how to stay in step in stride with his spirit, with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because
amen.
We don't begin to stumble until we begin to veer off or until we begin to see a crossroad as if there is another way to take. Beloved, the church don't have no business at the crossroad. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. The crossroad is a place of decision-making. What decision are you making when he tells you the way to take? He tells you the way to take. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
He orders your steps. A righteous man's steps are ordered by the Lord. He tells you the way to take. Amen? Hallelujah. And so we ought to seek God's guidance, and we're not at a crossroad, a place of decision-making, because we have a God. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
We're following the Spirit. Amen? Those that are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen?
Amen.
You got to develop spiritually until you are led by this Spirit. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. John tells us that the Word of God, excuse me, that's not where I want to go. I want to go over here. Amen. Just give me a minute. Four ways in the which the word profits us. Amen. 2 Timothy, well, I want to go back because we saw the word as the source of peace, right? The word is the source of peace. The Bible also says that if we meditate on the word day and night, that he will keep our mind in perfect peace. If your mind is troubled, if your mind is racing, amen. That happens to me sometimes. Hallelujah. Listen, we're going to go through some things on this side of glory. Amen. We're going to be persecuted. The mind is a battleground. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you ain't going through nothing, I wonder. Why? Because Satan don't have to bother and chase after those that he has. Amen. Hallelujah. I wonder. Amen. We ain't got to be ashamed to be going through. For the Bible tells us that we ought to rejoice. Amen. If we're going through for the sake of the gospel. Hallelujah.
Amen.
For the sake of the gospel. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And so, beloved, this is how the word of God profit us. The word of God is profitable in four very specific areas. Doctrine. So listen, commentary is not your doctrine. The word is doctrine. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got to be careful with commentary. It's not that all commentary is wrong, but you got to be careful not to make it doctrine. Amen. So it's good for reproof, correction, and instruction, right? And the type of instruction that the word is given is in righteousness. The word of God is never going to instruct us in unrighteousness. Do we know what is the difference between righteousness and unrighteousness? Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end of that way is what? Death. Amen. Amen. And so, first, the word is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine is a belief, a teaching, a dogma, a creed. A tenet of faith. Doctrine must not be man's idea. It must be the teaching of the inspired scripture. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible teaches us specific doctrines that can be learned through no other source. Amen? No other source but the Bible. It teaches us the nature, character, and power of God. It reveals to us our fallen, sinful state. It also shows us what we must do to be saved and have eternal life. And we know that that's faith in Jesus Christ and his finished work at the cross. It teaches us how to overcome temptation and sin. It teaches us how to live a holy life that pleases God. It teaches us how to be a part of the church of God. It instructs us how to treat other people. Amen. The Bible does all of this. So listen, we can't say that we don't know. God didn't leave us down here winging it. Amen. Hallelujah. Get in the Word. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. If you don't know how to treat people, the Word of God will teach you how to treat people. Amen. The basis for sound doctrine cannot be man's philosophy. Amen. Sound doctrine is not man's philosophy. It's not what I think, what I hope. Listen,
that's
we
right.
need revelation. We need
right.
no scriptures for private interpretation. No scripture is for private interpretation. We may be able to apply it in different ways, but the interpretation is not private. And so when you start telling me, well, this is what it means to me, oh, no, you in error. What is the Holy Spirit saying? We want some revelation here. Amen? Popular
Amen.
Opinion, the basis for sound doctrine cannot be man's philosophy. It cannot be popular opinion. We ain't taking no vote on it. Amen? It ain't popular opinion.
Amen.
It's not due to traditional beliefs. It ain't got nothing to do with your tradition, amen, or your culture, or even commonly accepted ideas. The basis for sound doctrine must always be the faithful Word of God. Listen, if it ain't in the Word, show it to me in Scripture. Show me Scripture in text. Amen. That's something that you ought to get used to saying. Someone start teaching you something, show it to me in the Word. Amen. Hallelujah. Show it to me in the Word. Amen. And we're going to see here that word Trinity, you can't find Trinity nowhere in the Word of God. Amen. Because the Bible says that, O Israel, our God is one Lord. One Lord. Amen. And we're going to get into that. Amen. Because a lot of this stuff, it says a lot of this stuff has been handed down from generation to generation, and it is man's way for trying to understand how our God could be three but one. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to learn how to just say what the scriptures say and believe that. And believe that. Amen. We ain't got to be able to explain it. Just believe it, because in believing it, that is power. That is power. We can't give the Jew a three-in-one God because they don't want to hear us. Amen? Because all they know is the Shema. And they learned the Shema before they learned their name. Oh, Israel, our God is one Lord. He's one Lord. Amen? Hallelujah.
That's right.
And so Titus 1:9 says, holding fast the faithful Word as he has been taught, that he may be able to, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayer. Amen. Titus 1:9. Amen. Listen, we have to hold fast to the Word. Amen. Faithful.
Amen.
Amen. Because any type of gainsaying and any type of worldly intelligence, amen, it's no match for the simplicity of the preached gospel. Amen. Even when they want to tell you that this is a white man's gospel, amen, you could tell them the devil is a lie. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Why? Because we know our Christ is spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. Amen. And prior to him being spirit, the Bible has a description that his feet, now I don't care what type of pictures y'all put up, that's your business, but the Bible says his feet was as coal burnt in a furnace, amen, and that his hair was woolly. That's enough description for me, praise God, amen. But at this point, after he was crucified, after he done gave up the ghost, was buried, preached in Sheol, amen, hallelujah, came up with all power, resurrected with all power, amen, I know him to be a spirit. So we don't have to go back and forth about what color he was or what that was. Listen, this word that I'm trying to give you is a word that's going to allow you to have eternal life and right standing with God. And you worried about the color of his skin when he walked the earth. Amen? Hallelujah. That don't make no sense. You're about to die and go to a devil's hell. Amen? And so, beloved, we got to be careful, because the enemy will try to appeal to other things. He will try to appeal to your culture. He will try to appeal to the fact that you were slaves. He will try to appeal to the fact that at one point Satan used these people as your oppressor. Listen, we have been liberated. And if we're going to deliver this gospel message to everybody, amen, we got to be willing, no matter what creed, no matter what background, no matter what color, amen, that we are standing with Christ and delivering the gospel that souls may be saved. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So it's time to be delivered. It's time to be delivered. Amen. I didn't say it's time to get stupid. I said it's time to be delivered. Amen. Because when the Holy Spirit delivers us, he delivers us and he gives us wisdom. Hallelujah, Amen. Jesus. He Amen. Gives us wisdom. Because a lot of that other foolishness is just ignorance. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so we don't want to be seduced with gainsaying. Amen. We don't want to be seduced Amen. With that. Amen. Know the word for yourself. Come to know God for yourself. Amen.
Amen.
Second, the word of God is profitable for reproof. Amen. What is reproof? Reproof is a reprimand, scolding, censure, admonish. I believe that's what it is. Admonition. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for the correction. I thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And so, beloved, nobody wants to be scolded. Nobody wants to be reprimanded. Nobody wants to be censored. Amen. Why? Because it doesn't feel good. Amen. But the Bible teaches us that this is what the word of God is for. So many times you hear me say, amen, if you have been corrected, if you have been rebuked, if you have been censored, and sometimes the Bible tells us that open rebuke is good because it'll put the fear of the Lord in the others. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so we know that the word is good for this thing. Amen. And you're going to find out that God does not rebuke or chastise someone that is not his son. He does not rebuke or chastise a bastard. Amen. And I like to follow that. Hallelujah. I like to follow that. One of the first things that we teach at Cornerstone Deliverance Church, and we allow you to do your assignment yourself, children, sons, and bastards. Because you got to come to know it. Amen. Hallelujah, Amen. Jesus. I'm not as young of a pastor as I used to be, and I ain't got no time to be beating a dead horse. I ain't got time for that. Amen. You got to posture yourself. You got to posture yourself as a son. Amen. And a daughter. You have to take a posture. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. As a child. Amen. The Bible says unto us a child was born and unto us a son was given. Jesus was born a child, but he was not given to us to die for our sins until he was a son. Amen. Until he grew up, until he matured spiritually, until he grew in wisdom and in spiritual stature. Amen. And so when we are born of the Spirit, I don't care how old you are, 80, 60, 70. Amen. When you first come to know Christ and you're born of the Spirit, you are a child. A child. How do I know that you are a child? Your behavior tells me. Amen. You can't follow assignments. You won't complete assignments. You have tantrums. You fall out. You always ask why. I was just on the phone with my daughter and my granddaughter, and all Millie wanted to know is why, when you're coming, Grandma, and when you're coming again. 500 questions. Children do that. Children do that. Children have a certain character, and that's okay, because it's all right to be a child, because when you're a child, there's spiritual nourishment that is coming to develop you and to mature you spiritually. Amen?
Amen.
But you should not stay a child always. God doesn't want you to stay. Amen. He wants you to mature. He wants you to mature. He wants to illuminate the eyes of your understanding. He wants you to be prepared to be able to take on. You need spiritual teeth so that you can eat some strong meat. Amen?
Amen.
That you can eat some strong meat. Now, beloved, I have beautiful, strong teeth, but I realize that I'm mindful of the meat that I eat, because even though I could chew it up good, sometimes I have a problem with swallowing. Amen?
Amen.
And so I said, God, what is the meaning of this? What are you trying to teach me? Amen? Amen. So you have to pay attention. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, what are you trying to teach me? I asked the question, the revelation is going to come. Amen?
Amen.
And so sometimes, a son or a daughter can follow, can handle assignments, can take assignments. They can handle rebuke. They understand that rebuke and chastisement is the love of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And hallelujah. So that's children, not son. But a bastard is going to go up against everything that you say. A bastard will start division in the church. Amen. Oh. Hallelujah. Rumors and all kinds of stuff. And so a bastard ain't going to be nothing but a problem. Amen. A bastard is one in the Word of God in the Old Testament was without God. Amen. The basset in the Old Testament was known as a dog. That's why Jesus said to the woman, amen, that said, "Can my child was possessed with a demonic spirit, amen, needed a healing." Jesus said, "Why should I give the bread of the children to the dog?" And she said, "Even a dog can eat the crumb from the table." And he says, "I hadn't known such great faith anywhere." Amen. And so there was very few people that he spoke of with such great faith. And that accelerated her blessing into right now, where she should not have received that blessing until after Christ has died and he was resurrected and the gospel is being preached. She received that blessing right now. You see, God will accelerate your course. He will accelerate your blessing. But you have to have great faith to bring that into fruition. Amen. It's about your faith, beloved.
Amen.
It's about your faith. Amen. And so faith come by hearing, about hearing of the word of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So sometimes we imperfect Christians, amen, need the chastening or scolding of the Lord. We can fail, make mistakes, and get out of line. The word is the main source of God's reproof and reprimand to us. And so, beloved, we should be mindful how we reprimand. And like I said, nobody likes to be corrected, amen. But I like to tell people when I'm correcting them, amen, I like to start off with, "Let us receive this in love, because that's the spirit that I am coming in." Amen. And I'm praying that that was softened, what's about to take place. Praise God. Amen. And then I like to ask them, "Is what I spoke to you, is it the word of God?" Amen. Because sometimes people will tell you, "I'm glad God is my God and not you." But if you can't respect who God set in place, you ain't respecting God either. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
This thing is real. This thing is real. And so if it is the word of God, you ain't got to get mad at me. Talk to God. Talk to God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Hebrews, amen. Hebrews 12, 6 through 7 says, "For whom the Lord loveth." Let us pull that up. I want you all to see that. Hebrews 12, 6 through 7. What does that say?
"For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not?"
Did we get that? Beloved, we could expect to be chastened by the Lord. He said he loved who he chastened. And he said, "Who endures chastening?" You know, you get sit down, don't leave the church. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You have to endure that thing. And God says that when you do it, they see you as a son. You get corrected, don't get mad. The pastor preached something and God is in your business. Don't say the pastor preaching my business. Maybe God in your business. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God does reveal. God does reveal. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes that word is just revelation. And if you have been pricked, just say ouch. Amen. Hallelujah. Beloved, we have to learn to keep this thing real. There was a time when we honored the man and woman of God because we knew that God would put him in our business. Amen. There was a time that if you was in sin, amen, you didn't take communion in sin. Amen, hallelujah. There was a time we knew, amen, we was afraid for Apostle William Brown to walk by if we was in sin because we knew that God would reveal it. Amen, hallelujah, Jesus. We knew the power on the man and woman of God, and there was a holy respect. There was a holy respect, amen. There was an honor even in error. Amen, hallelujah. I remember I was up in his office and he asked me a question, boy. I answered that question. He went, "Blah, blah, 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 blah." I said, "What just happened?" Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Uh-oh.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We had a reverence for the anointing on the man of God life. Amen. But it seems like that has been lost. Amen. We got to begin to reverence God right again. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Hebrews 12:11 says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Amen. So there is righteousness is what is birthing when you endure chastisement. Amen. Beloved, let us get in line with the word of God. Amen. And when the word of God comes forth, there's a provision. There's a provision for you to be able to endure the chastisement of the Lord. Amen. Actually, y'all know that my sister transitioned, my older sister. Amen. And when I received the news, I was angry. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, be angry, but sin not. Praise God. Amen. And I said to God, after I cried, I said to God, you did not give me a warning. You did not give me a dream or a vision. The Holy Spirit responded to me and said, I am God. And my spirit stood at attention and responded, it is well. Amen. Hallelujah. That he chastised me. Amen. It wasn't a sweet, oh, don't cry, let me comfort you. That wasn't the voice he had with me. Amen. You know, and he may deal with you differently, but he told me, I am God. Amen. Hallelujah. My spirit stood up and responded, it is well. Hallelujah. Not my mouth, not my mind, not my emotions, not the grief. The grief did not speak to God, but he demanded my spirit, man. Hallelujah. This is a spirit to truth worship, beloved. Amen. And so when grief comes, I start singing, it is well. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I know that is the provision that he gave unto me. I can trust this process. Amen. Hallelujah. I can trust his plan. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Whether he wants to raise the dead or do whatever he wants to do, he is God. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. When we read the word, to hear the word preached or taught, it can sometimes sting us as it cuts, amen, away the things that need to be removed from our hearts and lives. Listen, the Bible already told us as living in Athens that it's sharper than, it didn't say it was sharp as, sharper than any double-edged sword. It is impossible to hear this word and not get cut sometime. It is impossible to hear this word and not say out sometime. Amen. But we serve the type of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. He's going to comfort you too. Amen. The reproof and chastising of God's word is never for our harm. It is always for our good. And so when the chastisement comes, listen, and we know that all things are working together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Amen. Psalms 94:12 says, blessed is the man whom thou chastenest, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Amen. Listen, if he had not, if I had not learned of his statutes, amen, what is that scripture? Because that scripture is there, but I don't have the fullness of it.
Which scripture?
If I did not know your statutes. That's the scripture I'm looking for.
More than likely, it would be somewhere in 119, Psalm 119. Because
amen.
Every single verse in Psalm 119 is about God's law or his word. Every single one of them. Every single one in Psalm 119 is about all about God's word and how much he loves God's word.
I think it has something to do with correction and knowing his statute. That was one of my favorite scriptures, and I don't know why it is escaping me now. But if you had not afflicted me, I would not have known your statutes. That's the scripture I'm looking for. Praise God. Holy Spirit, I thank you for bringing it to my remembrance. Amen. If you have not afflicted me. And so, beloved, when we are being chastised by the Lord, that's like an affliction. Right?
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's a cut. And that makes us go to him in word and in prayer. Amen. I'm trying to pull up the scripture, so just bear with me. And do you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Evangelist Cookie is on point. She said Psalms 119. Amen. Psalms 119. Amen. She has a system. Praise God. It said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. Amen. Psalms 119, and the verse is 71. Amen. Amen. The woman of God has a system. We thank God for that system. We know that she studies the word. Amen. She has a system. Amen. Revelations, get yourself a system in the word. I believe the Holy Spirit will develop a system for you in how you learn when you study. Amen. Certain things will stand out for you. Amen. Revelation 3:19 says, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. But, and then it says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. Amen. So when he chastises us, we have to repent, beloved. Amen. And I'm going to share with you that when he's rebuked me and said, I am God, I believe that that was a rebuke. Amen. A correction. Amen. I repented. I repented. Amen. I repented. Praise God. Amen. And so, beloved, we cannot be afraid to repent. We have to repent. Amen.
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 The third, the word of God is profitable for correction. Correction is the next step beyond reproof or chastisement. It means to mend our ways or to make something right that was wrong. God corrects us by showing us where we are wrong and guiding us into that which is right. And so, beloved, for us, this thing is not about control for a leader. Amen? Amen. But is God in control? Yes, he is. And sometimes people that have a problem with authority will have a problem with the word. Amen? Because God's word is the word of authority. Praise God. Amen? But listen, there is deliverance for you too. And so we want to know that when we get to correction, amen, no one is correcting you and not showing you the way to take or the right way, because this thing is right and a wrong and mending. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we want to be mindful when we are correcting people or chastising people when God is leading us to do so, because we're trying to bring about a desired result. This is not about exposing nobody, pointing your fingers, shaking your fingers, shaking your head. We're trying to gain our sisters and our brothers. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, beloved, whatever we do, we have to do it in love. Amen. Whatever it is that we do. And love is not always soft, and it is not always hard, and it might not come the way you want it. Like some people like to say that it's not what you said, but it was how you said it. And I realize sometimes it don't matter how you say it. Sometimes it don't matter how you say it. People just don't receive it. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And so that's why I like to start off with, I'm coming in the spirit of love, and I hope that you receive me in the spirit that I am coming in. That's the icebreaker. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Let us know that I'm not pointing a finger. I'm not trying to expose you. Amen. This is the spirit of love. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And I believe that when we speak that we are, when we speak the words of love and the spirit of love, that we're recalibrating the atmosphere. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
First comes reproof or chastening. Secondly comes repentance. Thirdly, we must change our wrong way and bring it in line with the word of God. Amen. So when God reproofs us and he chastises us, we should repent. He's telling us something's wrong. After that comes repentance. Amen. And then after that, we have to change our way. The mind must change. And guess what? Your deeds must change too. And it should change to align with God's word. Amen. When the correction comes, the correction is not just telling you what is wrong. Correction comes to mend the bridge and to tell you the right way. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. 2 Kings chapter 22 records the account of the rediscovery of the word of God under the reign of King Josiah. Read the king's reaction to what the Lord wrote. Okay, let us go to 2 Kings chapter 22. Let us go there.
Excuse me, can you repeat that scripture again? I'm sorry.
2 Kings chapter 22. And I said that I am going to release this lesson plan because y'all do have homework. I didn't get the homework back yet, but we did not finish the lesson. And I want y'all to have the lesson plan for your own archive.
All right, thank you.
Let us begin to read on Josiah. It's not too many scriptures. Amen. It's only 20 scriptures. So I'm going to ask that Evangelist Cookie read from 1 through 10, and that Brother Darryl Golden read from 11 to 20.
All right, thank you.
Okay. Now?
Mm-hmm.
Josiah was
2 Kings chapter 22.
Mm-hmm. Right. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adaiah of Boscath. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, excuse the noise behind me,
amen,
that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keepers of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work. Oh, my God. Hold on just a moment.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, you said 2 Kings, and where else we at?
Chapter 22.
I got you. All right, thank you.
And we on verse 5 now.
Got you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house.
Mm-hmm.
Unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit, there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. And Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law, thank you, in the
mm-hmm.
house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
That have the oversight of the house of the Lord. Verse 10, and Shaphan the scribe shewed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king.
Start reading verse 11, Brother Darryl Golden.
Okay, I'm ready. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. And the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and
Ahikam,
thank you, the son of Shaphan, and Akbar the son of Micaiah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah a servant of the king, saying, go ye inquire the Lord for me, and for the people and all for Judah, concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book. Do according unto all that which is written concerning us. So Hilkiah the priest and Hakikam the Akbar, Safar, and Isaiah went into Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, the son of Tekev, the son of Harfeth, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king Judah hath read. Because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands, therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, Thus saith the Lord God Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place, and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into thy grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I bring unto this place. And they brought the king word again.
Amen.
And
I believe that God can turn his heart towards you based on how you receive the rebuke. Amen. Hallelujah. And
amen.
So, beloved, amen. When correction and rebuke come, we have to examine ourselves. God is not a man that he shall lie, or the son
Amen.
Of man that he may repent. You may not even like the vessel that is coming from, but is it the word of the Lord? Amen. This is
Amen.
Our season where we have to learn to discern the voice of God. I laid in my bed today and did not want to get up. My granddaughter called me and she said, Mama, are you still in the bed? I said, yes. No, she said, are you asleep? I said, yes. She said, are you in the bed? I said, yes. She said, did you shower? I said, no. She went, And I said, what was that about? You know, and she said, Mama, you should get up and get in the shower. Amen. If I would have stayed in that bed, I wouldn't have gotten nothing done. The voice of God. Amen. I got up. Mm-hmm. Some of us say, I'm not going to have no child telling me what to do. Amen. But that was encouragement. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Beloved, we have to learn to discern the voice of God. Whether he's speaking to a child, amen, whether he's speaking to an adult, amen. I don't care if he's speaking through a stranger. Amen. Is it the voice of God? I was once
Amen.
Out going on a date in my 20s, and a homeless man came up to me and my date on the train. And he said, everything that is good to you ain't good for you. I looked at my
Amen.
Date. I said, I don't know who you are or what you into, but this thing is over. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Whoa,
and he said, that's a homeless man. And I said, that was God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
And so we're not talking about whether the man is in home is God and what you see before you. Whose voice do you hear? Can you discern the voice of God?
Amen.
Amen.
And, beloved, this is what it's about. Your inner ear has to be trained to try every spirit by the spirit. What spirit is that? And that is the question that you need to be answering. But we see here, amen, a great example of correction, enduring correction, amen, and repentance, and God turning his heart, turning back his wrath. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, because we serve a merciful God. Amen.
Amen.
But when we want to be indignant and wrong and strong and defend our wrong, because the Bible says that those that love darkness will not bring their sins into the light. Amen? God is
Amen.
Giving you a chance to get it right that you don't perish. Hallelujah. He's given me a chance to get it right, that I don't perish. Because when we hear this word, nobody is excluded. From the pulpit to the door, we are all subject to the word of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And so, beloved, we have to be mindful. Follow the example of Josiah. Amen? Hallelujah. Start practicing responding to God's rebuke. Even when you're reading the word of God and you're studying it on your own, you're going to find yourself being rebuked by the word. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible tells us that your ignorance is not an excuse.
Amen.
Why is the Bible telling us that? Your ignorance, listen, he gave us the great book. Amen? Hallelujah. He says study it to show yourself approved. Amen? So the Bible tells us that we are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Amen? Your ignorance is no excuse. Amen? We are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Beloved, he gave us an inspired, revealed word. If you don't want to study it, he said, my people, this is Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. Amen?
Amen.
And so, beloved, we have an invitation to learn of him. Come to me, those of you that are heavy laden. Take of my heavy laden and burden. Take of my yoke, for my yoke is easy. He said, learn of me. Amen? We have an invitation to learn of him. Whether you take up that invitation or not, it's either going to be to your detriment, amen, or to you being led into righteousness, amen?
Amen.
So,
amen.
You know, I compel you today, learn the word. Learn of God. Amen? Hallelujah. He's given us an invitation. Due to lack of restraint, lack of knowledge, amen, we are destroyed. Where there is no vision, the people will perish. The vision is coming forth through the word. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. I want to give you another scripture. Let me just pull it up for a minute. Praise God. You know, I believe that in every relationship that there is fidelity, and I believe that God requires, when God gave me this to be the five foundational truths and me being able to judge a relationship, I believe that he is also telling me this is how he's dealing with me concerning relationship, that he expects this of me, fidelity, trust, truth, responsibility, and accountability. Amen?
Amen.
So there is always going to be accountability.
Amen.
Let us turn to James chapter 4. James 4. And, well, I'm not at James 4. I don't know where I am. James 4. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Ghost. James 4. And I believe we're going to start at verse 16.
Okay.
No. Let us start at verse 17.
Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin.
Did you hear that?
Yes.
Amen. Listen, the word is true. Him that knoweth to do good and doeth not, to him it is a sin.
That's right.
Amen. And so, beloved, we are responsible and accountable for everything that we're hearing. Everything that you're being taught, you are responsible and accountable for. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. There is another scripture that I wanted to pull up, but I'm going to find it before. What time is it? 9:12. 9:12. Okay. Let us read. Another example of the word being used in correction is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and 14, where Paul corrects the Corinthians in the appropriate way to observe the Lord's Supper and the proper use of spiritual gifts. Amen. I love chapter 11 of 1 Corinthians. Amen. I believe that's 1 Corinthians. And as a matter of fact, when we take Holy Communion, that is the scripture that we use. Amen. And so let us just take a look at that. 1 Corinthians 11. These are examples of correction. And Apostle Paul, he could be harsh in corrections at one time. He rebuked Peter openly. Amen.
Oh, yeah.
Because,
yes, he did.
Because Peter was eating with the Gentile, but when the Jews came, he was afraid to eat with the Gentiles. He rebuked Peter openly, amen? And mm-hmm. he also rebuked the Corinthians a few times. He even told mm-hmm. the church that, have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth, amen? My God, amen. My God, amen? And
amen.
So these are the things that take place, beloved. We can't take down and be afraid, amen? In these last and evil days, we have to be bold, but we have to be bold in love, amen?
Amen.
Amen. We have to be bold in love. And so 1 Corinthians 11, I would like to go down to verse 20, because I believe that that's where it starts. Yeah, he speaks to them about the heresies amongst them and everything. Let us start at the first verse. Why not read it all? Amen.
Okay.
Let us, yeah, someone just begin to read.
You need, okay, start one and go to where?
Just start one. Yeah, I'll tell you when to stop.
Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. First Corinthians chapter 11.
Mm-hmm. Verse 1.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and you just tell me when to stop. Be ye mm-hmm. followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Now I praise you, brethren, that ye remember me in all things, and keep the ordinances as I deliver them to you. But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man praying or prophesying, having his head covered, dishonoreth his head. But every woman that prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, for that is even all one as if she were shaven. For mm-hmm. if the woman be not covered, let her also be shorn. But if it be a shame for a woman to shorn or shaven, let her be covered.
Mm-hmm.
For a man indeed ought to not cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, woman is the glory of the man. For the man is not the woman, but the woman of the man.
Mm-hmm.
Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For
mm-hmm.
this cause ought the woman to have power of her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. For as
mm-hmm.
the woman is of the man, even so is the man also of the woman, but all things of God. Judge
mm-hmm.
yourselves, it is comingly that a woman pray unto God uncovered. Doth not even nature itself teach you that if a man have long hair, it is a shame unto you? But if a woman
mm-hmm.
have long hair, it is a glory to her, for her hair is given her for a covering. But
mm-hmm.
if a man seem to be contentious, they have no such custom, neither the churches of God. And this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together, not for the better, but for the worse. First of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But there must also be heresies among you, that they which are proved may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, to one place, that is not to eat the Lord's Supper.
Okay, I want to stop you right there. I want to stop you right there.
Okay.
Apostle Paul did a lot of teaching in here. He praised them on one point, and then there was things that they may not have understand how to walk righteously, and he began to give them instruction. Amen. And this whole
Amen.
Thing about This whole thing about the head being shaven, there was a temple of Diana where they shaved their head, and they wanted to know, do they take up this custom? So even as today, many people will try to bring, amen, their culture into the church. Your culture don't have no place in the church. Amen. Hallelujah. When we are born of the Spirit, when we have faith in Christ and we are born of the Spirit, we are a new creation. We are a new creature. The reason why we have to come to know God through his word, because his word is our instruction in righteousness as we ought to live. And so because they came up out of these customs, they want to know, should they do these things? Amen. Hallelujah. Should they shave their mm-hmm. head? So Apostle Paul began to teach, amen, that it is not good for a man to have long hair, and that a woman having long hair is good because it is her glory. It is her covering. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And so he began to teach on other things, but I want us to pay attention how he did praise them. And so sometimes we can rebuke, and then all we'll see is something wrong. As leaders, we have to be careful with that. Amen. Because the same Amen. Way you rebuke and you point out the wrong, you have to also encourage the people when they are right. Amen. Even in Revelations, Amen. When Jesus gave his testimony, amen, to, amen, the Apostle John, amen, concerning the seven churches, amen. He told them what was right, and he told them what was wrong, and then he told them how to overcome. We have to begin amen. To, if we really want to accomplish, amen, God's will, amen, in correction, you know, with the church, we have to begin to take Jesus' example in the right way of correction, amen, in the right way amen. Of chastising and rebuking, amen, hallelujah. Amen. Don't just shake your head, don't do this, don't do that, or point out the wrong. You got to show people how to do right, amen, and you also have to encourage them and praise them when they do right. And so the Apostle Paul is saying here in verse 20, when ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Amen. Even though they was coming together in one place for Holy Communion. And this Amen. Is Holy Communion, beloved. And we should be taking Holy Communion. Amen. He's saying Amen. Here, for in eating, everyone taketh for others his own supper. And one is hungry and the other is drunken. Amen. So that means that there's people that have plenty, and then there's people that don't have none. Amen. They're not Amen. Honoring the Lord when they drinking into drunkenness, because that has nothing to do with reverence to cross. Amen. And the work Amen. That Jesus did at the cross. He said, what have ye not houses to eat and to drink in? Or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? He said, I praise you not. Amen. So Apostle Amen. Paul wasn't going along with this foolishness. Beloved, this was an open rebuke to the church. He said, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. Amen. And when he Yeah. had given thanks, he broke it, and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Amen?
Yes, he did.
He says, and so when we take in the body and the blood, amen, the Holy Communion, we are taking it in remembrance of Jesus Christ's finished work at the cross, his crucifixion, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. This, we ain't taking it to get full. Amen? He said, eat at home. Amen? That the church is not for that. Amen? He says, have your Amen. Dinner at home. You want to eat to get full, do it at home. Amen?
Amen.
That's
Amen.
Why Apostle and Brown wouldn't let you fry no chicken up in his church. Why? Why? Because, listen, that place was a place for God. It was a house of prayer. Amen? After the same Amen. Manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Amen. And so the bread was in representation of Jesus' body, and the cup, amen, was a representation of his blood. Amen. And we don't use wine. We use grape juice. Amen. Why? We don't want to be a stumbling block to nobody, and we want amen. To stay sober-minded. Amen. Sometimes amen. People amen. Are delivered from certain things, and having wine for communion can be a stumbling block. Amen.
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 Can set them back. And so, Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We have to be mindful. Amen. And so there's some places that may have wine. We don't do that. That's not our practice. Amen.
Yes,
for
amen.
As often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Amen. So that's instruction. Mm-hmm. As often as we do it, so you don't have to just do it on third Sunday. When I'm fasting, I like to take communion. Amen. Because I like to show the power of the cross in my life. This is my faith. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Amen.
If I'm
amen.
Fasting for an extensive period of time, I take communion during my fast. If you're married, you should take communion with your spouse. It is reverence
amen.
The work of Christ at the cross until he comes. Amen. You have a family. You should lead your family in holy communion taken. Amen. But you have to
amen.
Know how to lead them. Amen. And so
amen.
This is one of the scriptures I like to read. It says, wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. And what it's saying
yes.
is that the only way that you could drink it unworthily, listen, there's no deed that you could commit that can bring about righteousness unto you but believing on Christ and his finished work at the cross. Amen. So if you're eating it and drinking it unworthily, that means that you're not reverencing the finished work at the cross of Christ properly. You have to eat it and drink it with a proper understanding of why you do so. Amen. This is the same, what he's speaking about here is when Jesus spoke to the 70 and the 12, and he said, you will eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. The 70 did not understand that saying spiritually. They said, all
amen.
We know is that this man has done miracles and wonders, but now he's really talking strange. Eat his flesh and drink his blood. Is he crazy? The 70 went away. Amen. He turned to the 12 and said to the 12, will you lead me too? Peter stood up full of the Holy Ghost and said, you have the words to eternal life. Where will we go? Amen. Where will
amen.
We go? And so when you don't have an understanding, if you seek God, he'll give you an understanding. See, that's the
amen.
Key. We cannot understand this word with a carnal mind. Your mind must be spiritualized. Amen?
Amen.
We
amen.
Must. They didn't understand it then, so they went away. Amen? But we understand it. We have the spirit. We got to discern the work of Christ at the cross properly. So he says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth, and when you examine yourself, amen, hallelujah, I like to repent before I eat and drink, because in my repentance, I'm representing the cross, Jesus Christ and his finished work, the power of it, and what it takes in my life, and what it does in my life, amen. It says,
amen.
For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, amen. This means
amen.
That when we take the body and the blood for the wrong reasons, like the First Corinthians church was taking it, right? He said, many are weak and sick among you.
Amen.
Amen. You could get sick taking the body and the blood and not reverencing it right. He said, and many sleep before his time. Many die before his time. Do not play with this body and blood. Amen.
Amen.
If you're going to take it, reverence. There is power in this body and blood. We were
yes.
taught that you can take it and get healed. You can take it and get delivered because there's power in it. Amen? We was taught that during the time where the body and blood was taken, there was no laying hands and praying because you could receive everything that you need through the body and the blood. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so, beloved, we have to reverence it right. Amen? For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. As you read in the Word of God, and the Word of God is bringing truth to you, and if you have been in error after reading the truth, you ought to judge yourself. Amen? And you judge
amen.
Yourself by acknowledging that you was in error, repenting, and moving into correction. Amen?
Amen.
But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen? Wherefore,
amen.
So that's another reason why chastisement comes. God says that I will finish the good work that I started in you. He chastised you that you won't be condemned with the world. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. That's why we wait for one another. Amen. We We take up the body together, reverencing the body that Jesus Christ offered up for us, and we take of the blood. Without the tearing of the skin and the shedding of blood, beloved, there is no remission of sin.
Amen.
Amen. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Amen. And so when we partake of the body of the, and the blood, we must really reverence Christ properly. This is not about you eating to get full. Amen. Listen, that's not what we're here for. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. This is not about you drinking till you get drunk. Amen. That is
Amen.
Not what we are here for. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And so, beloved, it is 9:28. Amen. And we do have a few more things that we really need to go through. Amen. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to finish up this section. Fourth, the word of God is profitable for instruction in righteousness. Instruction in righteousness means to be tutored or trained in equity of character. Did we get that? Instruction in righteousness means to be tutored or trained in equity and character. Beloved, the word will build character, godly character in you. Remember, when we came to Christ, amen, we had character, we had ways, amen, we had habits, amen. But maybe they didn't align with the word of God. But now the word is bringing something new. Amen. It means the act of being educated in holiness, godliness, and righteousness. Amen. So this is one of the reasons why the word is profitable to us, this instruction in righteousness. The Bible is the handbook for Christian development, both inward and outward development. It is the manual for our spiritual training. As Christians, we don't conform to the attitudes and behaviors of worldly culture. We're not supposed to do that, but more and more I'm hearing the church sound like the world, and I am concerned. Amen. Hallelujah. I am so concerned. Amen. We are lax. Amen. Hallelujah. We let anything in as doctrine and all kind of foolishness. Amen. There was a time if we walked into the church and if they wasn't talking right, you would turn around and walk yourself out. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. We didn't stand for that foolishness, but instead we comply with the teachings of the word. Amen. Psalms 119:133 says, order my steps. And the word order my steps means order my conduct in thy word. Amen. And let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Listen, this scripture is a good scripture of meditation. Amen. Order my steps and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. Amen. That's a good meditation. Amen. 2 Peter 3:11 says, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, all earthly possessions, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation, behavior and godliness. Listen, everything is going down but the word. Amen. And the Bible is admonishing us and bringing us to the attention that we ought to go forth in holy conversation, and that conversation talks about your behavior and godliness. Amen. And so, beloved, when we come back, we're going to start at 8, where it says the purpose of the word equipping us. We're going to start there. Amen. And what I'm going to do is, I said I was going to try last week, but I'm really going to try to get this out to you so that this way you'll have the physical lesson, because I know that I sent you the homework. You'll have the physical lesson, amen, that you can go over it in your own time and sink it in more and really research these scriptures, because this is what this is about. The Bible says, teach men and women to be disciples of Christ. Amen. We want to teach you to be a disciple. Amen.
Amen.
And so, beloved, as we go forth, I want to hear from you tonight on, you know, what is it that you learned through this study tonight? Remember, we are studying the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. And I want to hear what pricked your heart. Amen. You know, what encouragement and provision that you received through this word. Amen. I want to start off tonight with Sister Latasha.
Amen. 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 I wanted to say praise God to everyone. And what I received today is the word. you know, it's so important to get the word, because the word is what, you know, planted in your heart. And the word is going to keep us on a straight and narrow path. And
Amen.
Also what I learned today was just being mindful as, you know, as we mature. When you spoke about the chastisement of God, is to mature the ones that he cares about. And, you know, when you're growing and learning in the world, it takes time, you know, for the word to become a light unto you. You know, when
Amen.
I first started out, you could read it like 10 times and you can get some acknowledgement of it. But as years and time pass, the word starts to become illuminated to your understanding.
Amen.
So I guess
Amen.
That's God's way of, you know, what I've learned is everything is in timing. You know,
mm-hmm.
no matter how much, you know, we want to get the word and make things happen, it's all in his timing. But as you said, Apostle, it's all about maturing, you know, being mature. When you first start out, you a babe. And also what I enjoyed is when you're being chastised, whether by a boss or your apostle or your leaders, it's just to, you know, to chastise you, to make you mature, you know. So I that's what I received tonight, and I just wanted
Amen.
To say thank you. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. That was a good
Amen.
Share tonight. Amen. Brother Darryl Golden, are you sharing?
Yes. A lot of interesting things came out tonight's lesson. I will say the church is not a Golden Corral buffet after what I learned about you not coming to church. That's for sure. And not a plate, not an Applebee's either to come and get drunk. So that's definitely one for sure that I wouldn't do anyway, that I learned all jokingly, that we're not supposed to use the church as a place to get full on things. But, you know, some churches give food and this and that, and I don't have a problem with that. But, you know, I always
mm-hmm.
say be respectful to, you know, doing it in respect to God, and, you know, it's just me not being greedy, which I never try to do anyway. But,
mm-hmm.
you know, just some key points I learned tonight. Be willing to change in his name to bring forth fruit.
Mm-hmm.
I can say from personal experience to this point, if I was still doing some things back in my college days and in my youth, I don't think I would be spiritually mature now. You know, you're
mm-hmm.
talking to a person that, yeah, I had a home. I grew up in a home. We went to church on Sunday, Baptist church, mother and father in the home. I knew about God. I took him in my travels, but I didn't do any Bible study like I'm doing now. So I think
Amen.
For me in this journey, to do this as much as I've had with you guys. And then, you know, once again, you know, I will be going back to church. Even before the pandemic, I wasn't. And I'm not going to keep using the pandemic as an excuse on not to get to church, because one day it's going to be over, because in the Bible it says this too shall pass. And I feel the pandemic will pass, but, you know, and getting back in the physical body of the church where I need to be, which I've flagged in years. But I will say, even in my physical not going, coming to Bible study and all my walks of life, I've never forgotten God. And I feel
mm-hmm.
that he has brought me a mighty long way in terms of my attitude on seeking his salvation and dealing with, you know, some things right now that I've shared with the group that I need to solve still, and I know he would deliver on me. So I thought that was one thing you brought tonight that was good. And I'll just be, you know, quickly on some other points here. Never worry of being chastised by man, only God. You know, it was two words that were brought out tonight, chastening, and the other one was bastard. And I'm going to say quickly on bastard. You know, I always heard that word growing up as, oh, okay, his mother and father wasn't married, so that's a bewildering in the eyes of God. That is true in the Bible. However, I also feel that we should have a heart for people that have no control on how they got here and bring them up and praise them in his name. I think, you know, that's something I've seen. I can't speak for everybody, but a lot of people like to bring that up. And, you know, that's just a personal thing for me. And I always say, you know, I always think about the song. You hear a lot of the commercial now, Walk in My Shoes. I think that's a little spiritual there, because you don't know what people have walked in their shoes. But I do know it's your job as a Christian to bring them up, make them feel wholesome in his kingdom. And those things will mean nothing to you in life. And when somebody brings it up on your past, you just move forward. Because that's how I see how the people of this world that have done great things, they didn't stay in a hellish place or worry about, well, why my father wasn't here. They know the reason, but they're not going to dwell on it. So in terms of the bastard, I also look up the meaning while we're talking. It was also of an ignorant attitude. So my point is, I learned more than one definition of the word bastard. I thought that's what I took tonight, because I didn't know that. And if I had looked it up and came to Bible studies, I wouldn't have learned that. So I thought that was very good. And it's being chastised. You know, right now, so much tension out here with people don't want to listen or respect the police. You know, I'm going to say this. I'm not going to draw on that. You know, I was taught to respect authority and police. Now, again, you know, we as African Americans, we can't think it's us against them against us. We need to look at the whole story case by case. And if you're nice and kind to the Word of God, to me, you won't have any problems. But I just feel some people don't want to be told nothing. They have a nasty attitude. They got a lot of stuff going on. They need God to release these things. You know, I know there was a time in my life I didn't want to be told I was wrong. Now, when I knew I was wrong, I accepted the truth. Whatever they wanted to do, correct me or suspend it, I took it. But I will say this, God will show you when it's time to stand up, because what I've learned, if you are doing of the truth, then no authority will not disrespect you and your God of standing on the truth. So that's what I wanted to take from chastising in the word of bastard tonight. And also, just almost wrapping it up, God will always show us where we're wrong in life. Be learned to know I did this wrong, because God has shown me on some decisions I made that, you know, with speaking to me through other people, that you made a bad decision. You need to learn from this and move forward. Be respectful and authority to people. We talked about that when we talked about the king in Revelation, how the people underneath the king had to be respectful to the authority, but also in God's name. Discern when God is talking to you in life. Know when he's talking to you, you know, through prayer. If you want answers, you ask him. He will show you. Trust me. He definitely will. But be a chance, I'd like to know when you're wrong. And just a couple more points, last 3 points. You brought up ignorance of God's law is no excuse. I feel the same on man's law, but do it with the respect to God. You know, there's an old saying, you know, ignorance of the law is malice of not knowing the law is doesn't mean you break the law. I'm not saying per se correct it exactly. Well, I feel God's testament commandments are the same thing, too. You know, like you've always told us, there's no excuse with the Bible. You have Bible apps. Now you're giving us homework assignments. So we can't sit there and keep saying, well, I didn't know. Well, if you don't know, now it's time to know, because he is coming back. And I definitely want to be ready. Also, man's law constantly changes. But remember, God's law is a lifetime and never changes. You look all the time, they're always changing laws and constantly. Matter of fact, this Bible never changes. Think about it, it never changes. None of his commandments were never changed. It stands the test of time. And I think that's an awesome thing I learned tonight. And finally, God does not want us to be condemned in the world. He does not want us to conform to worldly culture. You know, it's a lot of things out here. I don't want to say some things to offend people. What I'm about to say, I'm just giving you my spirit in closing. You know, it's a lot of things out here. I'm 49 years old that I'm glad I didn't take a part of today. You know, some people think it's okay to smoke weed. You know, it's okay to get drunk. It's okay to be married and gay. It's okay to have tattoos all over your body. Start having, you know, and then, you know, like I said, we talked about men with long hair tonight. Well, see, you know, from what I saw tonight, God don't really want these things. You know, I just think we have a lot of problems today because it's not what God wants. It's what we want. And that's flesh-pleasing. And therefore, when we have these things blow up in our face, we don't know what to do. That's why we have a lot of mental illness out here today. People shooting in schools, shooting in public, because they can't handle or deal with the truth or things from their past. So in closing, I just want to say, just be strong in this world. This is the place to be, I feel, on Wednesday night, and also a lifetime of knowing God's word. Because
Amen.
I could go all night, but I'm not, and give others a chance to speak on how he truly, in my testimony, has saved me and brought me this far. And I know that he's going to carry me forward a long way. So I thought you hit some good points tonight in closing. And I thought these are things that we can take on what's going on in retrospect to the world and remember in Christ's name.
Amen. Praise God. Praise God. We thank God for that share through our very own brother Daryl Golden. And remember, the lesson is going to be released for you to be able to, you know, listen to slowly, rewind, forward, however it is that God is using you to do. Amen. Evangelist Cookie, are you sharing tonight?
Amen. Well, there were so many points that I've been, let's say, refreshed with, because I know these things, and I've heard these things. I've been rebuked. I've been rebuked openly. When I first got saved, I was a babe in Christ.
Amen.
And I got rebuked openly. It hurt me so much that I started to leave and never come back. But I had a friend of mine that talked to me. He gave me a good talking to me.
Praise God.
I even praise God, you know, about those things. I've been chastened openly, I could say, by Pastor Brown.
Amen.
He got me. Yes, he got me. That was the one that I almost left and not came back.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got me. And it hurt, but it was for my good.
Amen.
It's all right. It's all right.
Many things that Pastor Brown, it wasn't just Pastor Brown, but I've been chastened by the Lord. On many
Amen.
Things. And I've talked to others in chastisement as well, because I was the head of an auxiliary, and I had to chastise. I had to speak to others. And I learned early in my salvation about how to talk to people in chastisement.
Amen.
And I'm grateful to God for that lesson. You know, I had the, I wouldn't say, well, privilege or whatever you want to say, of being chastised by a mother, a mean mother, Mother Johnson.
Amen, amen. And the mother's in play.
Mother Johnson talked to me, but she wasn't trying to be mean.
Mm-hmm.
It was just how she knew how to say it. And it was about the clothes that I was wearing at the time. I just got saved. At that time I began to put on weight because I'm not out there partying anymore.
Right.
So I began to put on weight. I didn't have the kind of clothes that
they thought I should have, or they didn't fit me, I should say, the way that they thought it should fit me. And Mother Johnson came to me, and she said some things, and, you know, that hurt me. But then, not too long thereafter, one of the sisters, she's a mother now, but one of the sisters in the church came to me about the same identical thing. And she said it so lovingly and so sweetly that I was able to take what she said.
Amen.
Without crying. And I said to myself, well, Lord, you know, I'm never going to do that to the way Mother Johnson did that. I'm never going to do that to anyone. I thank God for that sister that came to me. You know who it was? It was Sister Clara Garrett.
Amen.
That's right. It was Sister Garrett came to me, and she spoke to me about the same thing, and she said, if you don't have anything or whatever to wear, or if you don't have a job, she said, tell somebody. They can make you something or do something to help you. And she was so sweet, and I learned from that. And let me tell you the experience that I had from that. Later on, many years later, I'm here in a church, and I just meet this young lady, and she was in the church, and she was bending over talking to someone.
Uh-oh.
And when she was bending over, her dress came up. So I said to her, I called her over to me. I said, come here, sister. I said, listen, be careful when you do things like that, when you bend over and everything, because your dress was coming up. And she thanked me.
Praise
God. Now, another sister in the same church, the same day, went to her very nasty. Very nasty. And she went to the pastor about it. And she spoke to the pastor about it. And she said, it's not the light-skinned one that talked to me before over there. She was talking about me. She said, it's not her. It's that other one. And I ain't going to say no name. But she said, it's the other one. And she told him who it was. And I just happened to be in there when she said it. And I told him that it was his mother, it was Aaron Garrett, your mother, was the one that spoke to me so sweetly, and I would never do that, to talk to anybody badly about, especially particularly about how they are dressed. You know, I would not do that.
Amen.
And so I experienced that, and I thank God that she appreciated that love that I showed to her. She received it with love. When I talked to her about being careful, your dress is coming up, and, you know, and I said a few more things, you know, just be careful, okay, when you bend over, you know, and everything. I appreciate the lesson that I learned from Clara Garrett. She blessed my soul, and I'm grateful to God. And she, the same way I took it, she took it with such love. She took it with love, and I'm grateful to God for that. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
And that's what I'm talking about as far as being chastened by the Lord or being chastened by someone. You don't have to do it.
Amen.
You don't have to do it with fire and brimstone. It doesn't, if you're not preaching on the pulpit, you don't need the fire and brimstone. You can go to a person in love
and
speak to them. But there's people that you can go to in love, and unbeknownst to you, they are bastards of the Lord. I mean, bastards, and they take it with hatred, and they hate you for it.
That's that word.
I've been there, too. I've been there,
Amen.
Too.
Amen. Amen.
I've been there, too. So I'm just grateful that God has shown me, and I feel no guilt.
when I went to the person that was the bastard, you see, because she didn't take it in love. She took it with much hatred, and she hates me to this day, but that's all right. I don't have a problem with it. God bless you.
Well, beloved, I thank everyone. I thank God for every testimony concerning the experiences and the reinforcement and the newness of the lesson, you know, that we have learned. Sometimes we just have to go back to the rudiments, and the study of the word, you know, to be able to help us along our way in our journey. And let us take from Evangelist Cookie testimony, what type of example in love do we want to be? You know what I'm saying? How do we want to be remembered by people? Because, you know, it's not just the pastor that brings correction. We have to be mature enough to bring correction to our sisters and brothers, bearing a burden, showing them the right way in love. Amen?
Amen.
And so there is a right way and there is a wrong way. But like Evangelist said, that she doesn't think the mother was just trying to be rude, that she brought it in the only way that she knows how. Amen? And that's true for some people. They can only say things the way that they can say things. And I'm going to tell you something. There are some people that need it that way, you know, because if you don't bring it to them that way, they're not going to understand it, you know? And you know, that's just what it is. So I believe that there is a purpose for, you know, for all when it comes down to the word of God. But we can do better, you know, as the body of Christ. We can really do better, because this thing is all about love, and we want to gain our sister and brother, and we don't want them to go away. And we learned tonight that correction doesn't always feel good. So when correction comes, God already warned us. It's not going to feel good. This ain't no feel-good religion. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. It's not going to always feel good. Amen. But it is going to lead you into righteousness. Amen. Into that path of righteousness. And so, and we can, when we are dealing with people, whether it be the world or our other sisters and brothers, we're accountable for what it is that we know. Because for us to know it and don't do right, it's sin to us.
Amen.
The Bible says so. So you're accountable for what you've learned tonight. Amen. You're accountable. Amen. Listen, heaven and earth is being witness against us. Amen. Taking record. Amen. Hallelujah. When God shifted and put in my spirit to teach the discipleship courses again, you know, I didn't go against what I received in my spirit. I felt that God has a purpose for wanting to go this path. Amen. And so I had to, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. I had to submit to the leading of the Spirit. Amen. And so, beloved, this was truly a good lesson, and it blessed me tonight as well, because when you're studying, it cuts you first. You know, I believe that this is humbling and another breaking and, you know, just really knowing how to be obedient to the word of God, doing things Christ's way. Amen. Hallelujah,
amen.
Jesus. And so I am just so excited about what God is doing with his church, with his people, with us. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And may we be that example. May we be fit, that he could use us. Amen. Hallelujah. For his glory, preparing us to be a sanctuary. You know, I believe that is what God is doing, making us without spot and without wrinkle in these last and evil days, and making us dependent on him. Amen. And so we're not going to keep going on and on because the lesson is over. Evangelist Cookie, would you please do the altar call? And Brother Daryl Golden, when she finished the altar call, will you close us out in prayer?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Is there any of you that's out there that have not received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? If there is, this is your chance right now to receive Jesus
Christ.
Amen. You know, there are many things that are happening in this world, and you may not get another chance to ask God for your forgiveness. You may not get another chance to repent from your sin. And we ask today
that you would all come. Take this and come with the Lord. Hear the words. The Bible says that Lord Jesus.
Take your time, woman of God.
Lord,
take your
thank
time.
You.
Hallelujah.
The Bible says that as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord.
Yeah.
Today is the day of salvation.
Yeah.
Not tomorrow, not any other time. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. And this is what we should all be preparing now, is getting ourselves, our house right with God.
Amen.
Amen. And
Amen.
If you so see fit to repent of your sins,
mm-hmm.
repeat these words after me. Say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for my sin. I believe that you died for my sin. I will serve you the balance of my life. And Lord Jesus, I am through with the devil. And tell the devil, let him know, devil, I am through with you. I have received Jesus as my Lord and my soon coming King. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. I love it when the woman of God does that altar call, because she let the devil know, I'm through with you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I am through with you, praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You got to do business with the salvation. Hallelujah.
That's right. You got to let him know you ain't down with him no more.
That's right.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen.
That's how you gotta tell them. Because sometimes the enemy don't wanna get the message, but you gotta be straightforward.
That's
Amen.
Right.
This
That's right.
Right. Over.
Amen.
Amen.
So Brother Darryl.
Brother Darryl Golden.
Now.
Amen.
Right. I just wanna say if begin prayer happy pre birthday to Apostle Asia Hurt. If I have it correct.
And, oh, yes, and I did want to say that, too, as well. I'm sorry. Go on,
Amen.
I'm sorry.
Yes. I was going to say a good happy pre-birthday to you.
Oh, thank you, man to God. Thank you, church. Amen.
No problem. I just want to let you know I have not forgotten, and I will be, you know, on your timeline tomorrow and all that.
Amen. Praise
Amen.
God.
All right. I will go ahead and start the prayer. I just want to say, okay, Father God, I thank all of those who convened tonight on our Wednesday night Bible study here with Cornerstone Deliverance Baptist Church. I thank you, Lord, for not only myself but all others receiving this great study of the Bible tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I just want what we've learned with chastening, authority, servitude, that it all touches us in our daily walk of life. I just thank you, Lord, for pushing me personally to come to Bible study, to get into the Word, not just being attendance of church in my physical body, but getting touched in my spiritual mind, knowing you. I thank
Amen.
You, Lord, for getting all those that come here Wednesday night, as much as possible, spiritually knowing you, getting in touch in your word, knowing your commandments, knowing how, by example in the Bible, that nothing has changed over time but the physical being of man. But your spiritual, says God, has not changed and never will change. It
mm-hmm.
truly stands the test of time. I just thank God tonight that this lesson set forth precedent into other lessons and also take precedent over things that are just getting really tense in the world right now. You know, God, we need you to touch people of all authority, Congress, police, churches in turmoil, Marriage is in turmoil. Children don't know where they want to be, who they are, what they want to do. We need you right now, Lord, to just touch all those areas to bring authority in your name. I know some may get it, Lord, and some may not get it, but to those that get it and want to be in your kingdom, that they stay in your word, and that we as Christians try to bring them into the kingdom, because if we all knew you, oh, what a peaceful place this world would be. But unfortunately, Lord, you've told me, and I'm sure so many others convening tonight, that everybody's not going to be on one accord in your name. But we don't chastise or forget those. We show them in love and kindness when they feel that they've done something in some type of way to us. I just thank you, God, for giving me the principle and others here convene, knowing you and having world peace in your name. And I just want to say the rest of the week, Lord, that we all touch those and protect those that came here, and that the spirit of your word in the Bible and also in everyday living be touched upon those that all of us walk in grace of you.
Amen.
For these blessings I truly ask in the name of Jesus, that I pray for all, for myself and all those convened tonight, in your namesake. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Beloved, we are dismissed. Let us go in peace and serve the Lord and be a witness of Jesus Christ. Amen. Agape love.
Agape love. God bless. Be safe.
Happy love.
Happy birthday.
If I don't say anything on Facebook, I want to say happy birthday now. Love
Amen.
You.
Amen. Right. I love you.
I got
Lord.
You. Right. Yeah, be safe in Miami. Be safe out there.
Oh, Miami was canceled, beloved, because my sister transitioned.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I'm so behind. Sorry to hear that.
So I'll be going on Sunday, and then I'll be coming back to North Carolina on Tuesday. Yeah.
Okay.
My
well, sorry to hear about your
sister's transition. Yeah, and he shared the same birthday. So that was.
Oh, get out of here.
Yeah, but we 2 years apart, but we have the same birthday.
What a godly coincidence. That's all right. Praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, you definitely have my prayers on that.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. But God is still God, and in all of this, we have to trust his plan. Amen. We have
to
trust
him.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So I love you all. Amen. Good night.
Love you too. God be loved.
Good night.
God be loved.